I've been teaching on warfare. Last week we taught, this is number four on a little series on warfare, and I shared with you at the very beginning of the first lesson that we're in a war, whether you like it or not, we are in one, and you can either enlist or you can get drafted or you can become a victim. Because when you became a Christian and you became born again, you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and you were deposited into the kingdom of God. So we are dealing here with opposing forces of kingdoms. You're looking at the kingdom of darkness, who is ruled by Satan, Lucifer, fallen cherub, now Lord Satan. And you are looking at the kingdom of God that is ruled by the omnipotent, omniscient, all-powerful God himself, Jesus Christ, the Son, the Holy Spirit, being the revelator and the giver of life. So God's kingdom has been in conflict, and Jesus Christ came as a man to this planet, stepped out of eternity, stepped into time, stepped into a body, became a human being, the last Adam, born spotless and sinless, walked through the human experience, experienced everything you and I will ever experience without sin, overcame darkness, obeyed every jot and tittle of the law, went to the cross, took on the sin of humanity for you and I. He was the qualified, spotless Lamb of God. He died. He went to hell. He suffered the wrath of God. And he was raised from the dead, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And by faith in him and in his atonement, what he has done for me, how he has washed my sins, how he has saved me, when I look at that cross and I believe that Jesus is who he says he is, all God and the last Adam, when I believe that he is my resurrected Savior, when I believe and surrender my life to him, I then instantly get grafted back in, and I am brought into the kingdom of God, and I'm taken out of darkness, and Satan no longer has any legal hold on me. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am no longer a slave to darkness, and I've become a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. That's the gospel. Now, most of us don't even know we're in a war. Now, Jesus Christ has won that war at Calvary. We are now as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He's the head, we're the body. We are his church. He's reconciling all things back to the Father through the cross. And on the earth side of things, he's using the church. That's you and me. I'm part of his body. He doesn't separate from me. He's not up in heaven ignoring me, and I'm down here on the earth hoping he's hearing my prayers and he's doing something. We are divinely joined together, like my head is joined to my body by my neck. My body and my head are one, and we are the body of Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, and he is the head of the body. All things are under his feet. Therefore, all things are under our feet. Satan no longer has dominion over me. He no longer has legal right to rob and to steal and to kill from me or my family. But if I don't know the war, if I don't know the enemy, if I don't know my basic training, if I don't put on my armor, if I don't understand this, then guess what? I can be a great Christian, love God with all my heart, but I can have one lousy life with lots of hell in it. Lots of hell in it. So the body of Christ needs to get savvy about the war that we're in, because things I don't believe are going to get better in the natural. But I believe that the saints of God that understand God and who know their God, it says in the book of Daniel, will rise brighter and brighter as the end times come. And that they who know their God will do amazing things with God. So we have an opportunity to be amazing girls in the house of God and in this timeline in Earth's history. Or we have the opportunity to live broke, busted, disgusted, defeated, and depressed and discouraged all the time. It's our choice. It's our choice. I choose life. I choose faith. I choose to walk by faith and not by sight. I choose what God says. I choose his word. I choose Jesus. I choose to have an adventure in life. How about you? But it's our choice. And so today I want to talk to you about two opposing laws that are operating in our realm. And this has everything to do with warfare. And so the title of today's message is Freedom from Fear. All right? Having said that, Romans chapter 8. I'm reading out of the King James Bible, the New King James Bible. Paul has just left chapter 7. There is no chapter and verse between them. He says in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Speaking about the sin nature at war with the new nature. "I thank God through Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore," chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore, "no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." Now, right there, I want to stop, and I want you to look at me for a second. He has just stated right there in chapter 8, verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." There's two operating laws in our system. There is the law of the Spirit of life, and there is the law of sin and death. And they are both operating at the same time. As to which one we come underneath its authority is up to us. And that's what I want to look at today, is opposite forces and how to understand them and how to get savvy about what's going on in your life when you're fighting a battle so that you can see it, get clear of it, and win the fight. Because a lot of Christians know that God is on their side. A lot of Christians know that God did not send this trial. God did not send this. God, they know enough about God to know that God is good, that he loves us. He doesn't break our legs to teach us something. He's not putting cancer on our bodies to make us sick. He's not schizophrenic. He doesn't give us cancer one moment and then heal us the next. Most Christians here, I hope you know that now. We also know that Satan has no power over us, that legally he's been defeated, that we are enforcing Jesus Christ's victory at Calvary. We are enforcing that which has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. We know that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We know that. And yet still, we seem to sometimes get stuck in a battle, get stuck in a situation, and we don't know what's wrong, and we don't know how to get out of it. And that's what I want to address today. Now, last week I taught about how do you fight a battle when life isn't fair. Today I want to teach you about how do you fight a battle when you're stuck and you don't know what's wrong. How about that one? So we started out with two opposing forces, two opposites. This law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, but we see the law of sin and death. So to understand these two opposing forces, we've got to understand what this law is, when it came upon the earth, and how it operates in our life, and what operates the law of the Spirit of life, and what operates the law of sin and death. Because I can be operating in one or the other, and not even know that I'm operating in the law of sin and death, because it has tricked me. Interested? All right, let's look. When I said there's two forces that are spiritually operating, it is the force of faith and it is the force of fear. The force of faith operates the law of the Spirit of life. The force of fear operates in the law of sin and death. Have you got that? Law of the Spirit of life operates and is enforced and activated by faith. God has given to us the measure of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that you don't see. Faith is God's creative substance that he has given every believer. It's been given unto us, the measure of faith, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. You all have as much faith as you're ever going to need. We just have to develop it. Just like your kids, when they got born, they got all their body parts. They don't get new body parts. They grow and their muscles expand and their organs enlarge and they grow in height and stature, but they are already very complete. They have everything they're going to need to grow up to be healthy adults. Well, when you got born of the Spirit of God, the measure of faith was given unto you and given unto me. We got saved by faith. That faith just needs to grow up in us as we grow in Jesus Christ. Now, the law of sin and death came along in the garden, and we're going to see this. And that law of sin and death is activated and energized by the force of fear. Now, if I were to tell you right now that some of you are stuck in a battle because you're afraid, you'd say to me, no, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of anything. But it could be that fear has disguised itself as logic, common sense, and other things that we'll look about in just a minute, so that you think you're operating in faith, but are you? And that's what I'm going to challenge you with today. All right? So let's look at these two opposing forces. The law of the Spirit of life operates by faith. The law of the Spirit of death operates by the force of fear. So how did this all happen? The law of the Spirit of life is found in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve were operating in the law of the Spirit of life when man was divinely connected to the Godhead. God created Adam and Eve, created Adam, put him in a garden. He said, here's your garden. You're the boss. Take care of the garden. Everything was good. You have dominion. God brought him all the animals. You know the story. He named them all. He was a brilliant botanist, brilliant biologist. Everything in his brain was working at full capacity. They say that we don't even use 10% of our brain capacity. Can you imagine what Adam, how genius Adam was, how we were fearfully and wonderfully made? God made Adam, and then he saw that Adam was alone. He did this on purpose, and he pulls woman out of man. We are doubly removed from the earth. I love to talk about that because men are a little dirtier than we are. Just kidding. We're made out of the substance of Adam. We are bone of his bone, and we are flesh of his flesh. And God pulled woman out of man and made woman so she would come alongside man and be man's suitable helper, his Ezer Kenego, his helpmeet, the one that he could stand face to face with, his equal, so that he could partner with her and be one together and rule this planet. They were ruling this planet without any sin. There was no disconnect from God. God was telling them what was right and what was wrong. God was in them and God was in everything. The Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life was operating. The law of the Spirit of life was operating. Do you see that? God was all and he was in all in the earth before the fall. There was no one eating anyone. There was no sin. No one was arguing with God. No one had rebelled. Creation was in harmony. The lion and the lamb in the garden did not eat one another. The lamb ate grass and so did the lion. There were not predators yet. The fall had not happened yet. The law of the Spirit of life. Let me read this, what it means. Heaven and earth were spiritually connected by the Word of God. So everything good that comes from the divine life flowed freely without obstruction. You hear that? What is the Spirit of life? It says that heaven and earth were spiritually connected by the Word of God. So everything good that comes from the divine life flowed freely without obstruction. That's before sin came in. There was a divine connect. God was all and he was in all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is not on the overhead, but I just want to show you this. Now we're in this amazing restoration process, planet Earth and the universe. God is reconciling a world and a universe back to himself through the cross. I've taught you this many times, but I just want you to see this one more time. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 27. I'm going to go to verse 24. Then comes the end, when Jesus delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule, all authority, and all power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. That's what's happening right now. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. In other words, God has put all things under Jesus, and God is accepted. He's not under Jesus. Now watch this. Verse 28. Now, when all things are made subject to him, speaking of Jesus Christ, speaking of God, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. God may be all and in all. Did anybody ever see that movie, Avatar? How many saw that movie? I'm just curious. All right. In that movie, there was a danger because it spoke to the longings of the human soul. It spoke about universalism, that we're all interconnected by some force. Because in the soul of mankind is a longing to be joined back to what we have been cut away from. You'll get it in universalism. You'll get it in spiritualism. You'll get it in world religions, that there is a force. How many saw Star Wars in the 70s? The force, remember? The force be with you. Are you guys listening to me? You know, where do you think this stuff comes from? Because in the heart of man, there is a knowing on the inside of you that something's missing. Something's not right. Something is disconnect. And before there was ever sin on this planet, there was a unity and a oneness and the law of the Spirit of life, whereby everything was under the authority of God's word, his command, his will, his way, and God saw and said it was good. Are you with me? So all of a sudden, here comes Satan, who's already rebelled, who's already been cast out of heaven. You know the story. He shows up in the garden. He talks to the woman. He gets her to listen to what he has to say. And what he says to her is, "Hath God said that if you eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that you will surely die?" And Eve says, "Oh, God said that, and we shouldn't even touch it." And Satan says, "Well, that's not true. You won't die. God doesn't want you to know for yourselves what is right and what is wrong." Now, why do you think Satan said that? Because he knew that the law of the Spirit of life was flowing right there on the earth, and there was no cutoff from God. It was divinely connected. He knew that God had given dominion and authority to Adam and to Eve to rule, subdue, have dominion, and multiply and replenish this planet. They were the many, the lower gods, the king and the queen, if you will, of planet Earth. Are you with me? Satan knew if he could get Eve to disobey the word of God, which started by doubting the word of God, that he would get her operating out of the law of the Spirit of life, and he would get her operating now into the law of sin and death, which says, and God spoke it to Adam, if you eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. So sin is the breaking of God's law. The wages of sin is... So Satan knew if he could get Eve to begin to doubt, to cast her eyes on something else, if he could connect with her desire, that he could get her tempted and she would bite the bait, she would fall by disobeying God, she'd step into the law of sin and death, which she did. She offered her husband that piece of fruit. He was there with her, so he's watching the whole thing. He ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He stepped into disobedience, sin. And the first thing that happened after they stepped into disobedience and sin is their eyes were opened, they knew they were naked, and they were afraid. Before the fall, they were operating in faith. They were operating in the law of the Spirit of life. God's word was divinely connecting everything in their life. They were in unity and oneness with God. Is that true or not true? Do you see that? As soon as they disobeyed God, as soon as they made their own choice and disobeyed the word of God, they stepped into the law of sin and death. Instantly, their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. Now, they were naked before, physically, but they were wearing something. They were wearing righteousness, the robes of righteousness, it says in Isaiah. And when that was gone, because the presence of God was now a disconnect from them, where before there was a life flow of light and the life flow of the life of the Spirit of God flowing into them and through them and out of them to rule. Now it's cut off just like that. Their eyes are open and they look at each other and they take leaves, fig leaves, and they quickly cover their private parts and they hide from God. And God is in the midst of the garden saying, Adam, where are you? And Adam cries out. This is what he says. Genesis. See, I don't know, guys, if you can find this or not. I'm not following my notes very well. Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse 8 through 10. So God comes. He knows exactly what's going on. He had the plan of redemption before it ever fell. And it says in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 and 10, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called to Adam and he said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Oh my God. This is the first time this has ever happened. He's never known fear. He's never been afraid of anything. He's walked with God in the garden with his wife. Everything they need has been provided for them. They've had intimate fellowship with creation. They were the rulers of this planet. And all of a sudden, by that one choice of disobedience, by partaking of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they disconnect from God. They die spiritually instantly. It took him 1,000 years to die physically for his physical man to catch up with his spirit being. But instantly, they were severed and disconnected from God. And that's what death is. It is a separation. And they were separated. They spiritually died. They couldn't see God. They couldn't see the righteousness that they were once wearing. They knew they were naked. And they hid. And Adam said, I was afraid. And the force of fear came into the earth through the law of sin and death, and the force of faith that they were walking in was now replaced by the force of fear. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? There are two opposing forces on this planet. There is the force of faith, whereby God says the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those that come to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that you cannot see. You see, that's the law of faith that God has given to his people. The just shall live by faith. There's a language of faith. There's the life of faith. You can't get saved without faith. You can't get the Holy Spirit without faith. It says that you must believe in your heart and speak with your mouth, and you will be saved. When you look at that cross, faith comes in and you say yes to Jesus. It begins in faith. By grace are you saved through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. God has given to us this gift of faith, whereby we take from the invisible realm that is more real than this natural realm, whereby we can release our faith and we can believe, and it comes out of the supernatural and it comes into the natural world. That is the law of the Spirit of life, where you are functioning by the Word of God and you are divinely connected to the Father. You're divinely connected to the Son. He's the head and you are the body. And the Spirit of the living God, the law of the Spirit of life, has breathed into your spirit. And you're born of the Spirit of God. And now the Word of God is controlling you. And the Spirit of God is empowering you. And you are restored back to where Adam and Eve were before the fall. But there is a battle going on. And Paul writes about it in the 7th chapter of Romans. He said, I know what to do with my heart and my head, but in my flesh, there is this law that's working on me all the time. The law of sin and death. In my members, I want to serve my desires. In my heart and my mind, I want to serve God. But in my members, I keep going back to the old ways. I keep going back to the old nature. I keep going back to the law of sin and death, whereby fear rules me. Disobedience is the name of my day. Are you seeing this, girls? If you don't understand this, you're going to be tricked. And you're going to think you're fighting a fight of faith, and actually, you're in fear, and you're in doubt, and you're in unbelief. And I can tell you that because that's where I've been for the last 2 weeks. So I'm preaching to me. All right? Every single Christian in here will fight this fight. You'll have victories. You'll have notches on your faith belt. And then there'll be a new campaign of warfare against you. New levels, new devils, as Joyce Meyer says. And if you don't understand the law of faith and the law of fear, the force of fear, it will trick you and it will hide as common sense. It will hide as logic. It will hide as the right thing to do, instead of what God has told you to do. I'm talking about Christians now that are not in sin, not in disobedience, that you've cleaned up your life. You know God's not your enemy. You know the goodness of God. You know He's for you, not against you. You know the Spirit of God. You know the devil is a liar and he has no authority, but you're stuck in a battle. That's what I want to talk about. So I've laid a foundation, the law of the Spirit of life versus the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life says, let me read this to you again, heaven and earth, spiritually connected by the Word of God, everything good that comes from the divine life flows freely without obstruction. Flows freely without obstruction. All right? Spirit of the law, the law of the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, we're in that law. We walk in the flesh, we have gravitated back to the law of sin and death, whereby nothing works. And it operates by fear and not faith. Under the law of sin and death, every blessing became a curse with Adam and Eve. The ground which had once produced abundantly began to withhold its fruit. Thorns and thistles came up instead of produce. God said, Adam, because of what you've done, the ground is cursed. So this law is now operating instead of the law of the Spirit of life. Where he was in a garden, now he's in a place where there's thorns and thistles and weeds. And by the sweat of his brow, he's going to have to work. Eve is given a sentence, a consequence of her act, because now she's going to have to raise sin nature children. It's going to be hard work. She's not going to know what to do. Before, she would have raised non-sin nature children, children that had a perfect nature, that didn't, the first word that they had to learn would not be no. In place of the creative power of faith, man took on the power of fear. Now, God did reinstate the Spirit of life in the new creation. I just already said that. But the spirit of fear and the power of fear is still operating on this planet, and it can still operate in my life, and it can operate in yours. So what is the force that activates the law of the Spirit of life? Say it again.
Faith.
What operates the law of sin and death?
Fear.
Fear reaches into the unseen realm and manifests the threats of the devil. Fear reaches into the unseen realm and manifests the threats of the devil. The spirit of fear will operate in the unseen just like faith operates in the unseen. Faith is a substance of things. Faith is a substance of things. Faith is a substance of things
hoped for.
Hope is the country where God lives, where anything is possible. Right? Fear operates with something called worry. Dread. As hope is to faith to paint a beautiful picture of the will of God, worry is to fear that paints dread and what could happen and will actually, like faith, fear will then take that picture of worry and it will reach into the supernatural and pull out the very thing that you feared the most. Are you hearing me? So the more that you worry and the more that you fear, the more you are operating in this law of the sin and death instead of operating in the law of the spirit of life where we should be living. Are you hearing me? So fear operates the law of sin and death. It manifests the threats of the devil. You listen to the news. You hear the world. And everything says it's true. It's black and white. It's logic. We're tanking. This nation is on its last legs. You can get the worst of the worst pictures painted, can you not? What law is that?
Fear.
It's the law of sin and death. And it operates by fear. But God says, the law of the spirit of life, that nothing is impossible to God. God shows us in the Word that in the worst of droughts, in the worst of famine, Isaac sowed in a drought and reaped a hundredfold return. God shows in the law of the Spirit of life that He is not in recession. He's not tanked. He's not on His way down. But until you and I get in agreement with Him and not in agreement with worry and fear, we are operating in that old nature, sin and death, instead of the new nature, spirit of life, where God wants us to live. Are you seeing this? All right. It is fear that activates the law of sin and death that keeps us in bondage. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, we're going to get there quickly on Sunday. Are you all right with me? Can I give you just a little bit more about this? Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, speaking of Jesus, He Himself likewise shared in the same. In other words, Jesus partook of flesh and blood. He became the kinsman redeemer, the last Adam. He came as a man to redeem fallen humanity. He did not come as an angel. He came as a man. There is the man, Christ Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father. He is a man. He is still in a man's body. He is the last Adam. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the captain of our salvation. He is God and He is man, and He has redeemed all those that will by faith look at that cross and say yes to Him. Then you begin to operate in the law of the Spirit of life. So He says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those, now watch this, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear of death. What is the fear of death? I submit to you, it is not just a Christian dying and going to heaven. Because many of us are not afraid of leaving this body and going to heaven. We're actually looking forward to it. I submit to you, there's far more going on in the fear of death than that. It is all that death brought. All that the wages of sin came with. For the wages of sin is death. It is prosperity being turned into poverty. It is health being turned into sickness. It is peace being turned into strife. It is everything that goes with Satan's kingdom you and I dread and are afraid of. Are we not? Does anybody here want to go to the doctor and hear a death sentence over yourself that you've got cancer? No. The first thing you have to fight off is worry and dread and fear. It's not even about the moment of death when you know you're going to be in heaven. It's what's going to happen to the kids. Who's going to take care of this? How is that going to work out? When you find out that you lost your job or your husband's lost a job or your house is tanked and it's foreclosed, it's the dread and the fear of now where am I going to live? How am I ever going to recover? You see, it's not the dying that's so hard. It's the living in the spirit of death that is so hard on us. Are you hearing me? It is the law of sin and death that comes alongside and constantly bombards your heart and your mind with worry and dread and bad news. And this could happen, and this might happen. Just like Hope says, this could happen, and this could happen. Why, God could just suddenly, in just one moment, just miraculously pull me right out of here, like he did Joseph, or like he did Mary, or like he did the saints of the old. I mean, that can happen, right? That's good hope. So can bad worry do the same thing. I can operate in the law of the spirit of life, or I can operate in the law of sin and death. Now, what happens when we're stuck in a battle? And we've got like gum on our shoes and we just can't seem to get away from the same old battle. You know, you're stuck there. You just keep going back. You just keep going back. You keep going back. Could it be that you are not operating in the spirit of life, but you are operating in the spirit of the law of sin and death? And that you're in fear and it's masquerading as logic, common sense, the right thing to do, when God, in fact, has already spoken and you're not doing it? Because I think that could be a lot of us. It was, in fact, my problem. When Jim had asked me to believe with him for something that I didn't agree with. And I didn't want to do. And I fought him on it. Now, I'm not going to tell you what it is. Because I thought I was right. But you see, I came under sin because there's a higher law that says if your husband's not in sin, mine's not. Submit unto your husband. Trust yourself to the Lord as Sarah did, not being terrified or afraid. Because sometimes you can go down a road and it's led you the wrong way. Sometimes you can believe for healing and you didn't get healed or somebody else didn't. And so all of a sudden that testimony comes back at you. And well, you know, I was believing for a healing, but gosh, you know, I didn't get healed. You just, boom, went back into the law of sin and death. Sometimes bad things have happened that you haven't forgotten, and you're still hanging on to those memories. And when you have an opportunity to walk in the law of the spirit of life, you are still remembering those things that happened under the law of sin and death. I submit to you that you need to wash them away and get rid of them. It's a new day, it's a new hour, and God is God, and he is faithful. You can't look back, you've got to look forward. So what am I to do? Oh, darn it, I'm out of time. I'm going to so quickly give this to you because I don't want to leave you hanging today. What do you do? How many of you think you might be operating in the law of sin and death and not even know it? Just honest with me. Yeah, thank you. I'm not alone. What am I supposed to do? Number one, I'm going to have to recognize fear for what it is. Bondage. Bondage. These are all R's, so this is going to go fast. Recognize fear for what it is. How am I going to get out of this? I got to see I'm in fear, because you don't think you are. You think you're doing the right thing. You think you're digging your heels in, and this is righteous, and this is what we should do. All right, let me give you an example. Peter, in the middle of the lake, huge storm, rowing the boat, and they're sinking, and all of a sudden, Jesus walks by on the water. You know that scenario? Remember that one? They scream, ah! You know, they think it's a ghost. Who wouldn't think something's weird? There's all of a sudden this figure walking on the water. And they scream, and Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, it is I." And then Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." And Jesus can't deny himself, and he says, "Come." He speaks the word. Peter hears the word. Faith is activated, and it says that he climbs up out of the boat into the storm. I have a boat. I know what it's like. I've been on fishing boats in the Galilee. They're big. You could get 30 men in them. They were commercial boats. It takes a little bit to get up out of that boat. It's not like you can just slip over the side. It says in the Word of God, in Matthew chapter 14, "Now the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night," that's about 2 o'clock in the morning, "Jesus went to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, 'It's a ghost,' and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, 'Be of good cheer, it's I, don't be afraid.'" Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's what God says. Don't be afraid. This is what happens. Peter says to him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. How amazing is that? He heard the word. He got out of fear. He got into faith. He got out of the boat. And he is making a step. And he is stepping on the impossible. That water is coagulating underneath him like steps. Every time he puts a foot down, and there's a storm all around him. I have been at sea. I understand some big swells. The biggest swells I've ever been in my little sailboat, Puff, have been about 9 feet. Not like a storm. But they can go over the bow, and they can swamp the boat. And listen, you don't live in the water. You will drown in the water. Your little boat is your universe. Are you hearing me? He is out of his universe. He's out of his atmosphere. He is away from that which is safe and sane and logical. He is now on the water in a storm. And Jesus has said, "Come." And he is stepping by faith to the master. Pretty amazing. You know the story. Verse 30. "But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said, 'Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they'd gotten to the boat, the wind ceased." Recognize fear. Some of you have stepped out of the boat. You've walked on the water. Now your eyes are looking again at the waves and the storm that you were in. And when Eve got her eyes off of what God said and got her eyes on what was in front of her, listening to fear, listening to that serpent, she disobeyed God. And that's why Jesus said to Peter, "Don't be afraid." Girls, before you know it, fear can slink in. Hide as self-preservation. Hide as logic. Hide as pity. Hide as common sense. But God says, "Oh, ye a little faith, why did you doubt?" What am I to do? Number one, recognize fear for what it is. Number two, repent before God. If you see that you've been operating in fear, then what I have to do and what you have to do is I've got to go before God and I've got to say, "Forgive me. I've not been operating by faith. I've been operating under the spirit of fear. And I need to repent, Father. I need to ask your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, I repent of a spirit of fear, for you've not given me a spirit of fear. And Lord God, I just stand washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Washed, washed. It's gone, Lord. I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to look to my sides. I'm going to look forward and keep my eyes on you." And you repent of that spirit of fear. Because until you do that, it will keep coming back. You've allowed it. Permission. to cohabit with your faith. And they are opposite forces. And you can't have faith on one side and doubt and unbelief on the other. It doesn't mix. One will manifest Satan's lies and one will manifest God's promises. Are you with me? Repent before God. Number three, refuse to let fear replace faith. In other words, I'm going to have to take authority over that spirit. Now I repented of it. I've recognized it, repented. Now I'm going to have to refuse it because it will try to gain access and stronghold in my life. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity." This is amplified. "Of craven and cringing and fawning fear. But he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and a well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control." If you are not operating in that in your spirit, you're not operating in the law of the spirit of life. You are operating in the law of sin and death, and you cannot allow that thing to continue to control your life, which means you've got to take authority. In the name of Jesus, you spirit of fear, and name what you're afraid of. If it's poverty, if it's sickness, if it's cancer, if it's death, if it's loneliness, if it's being single forever and you're being tempted to go out and find a man, God's not fast enough. This works in every avenue of life because by faith, you're going to get everything you want from God. You're not going to get anything from God except by faith. Nothing works except by faith in the kingdom. That's it. So that spirit of fear that hides itself, that deceives us, has got to be dealt with and faced. And in the name of Jesus, I take authority, spirit of fear, over, and you name that thing. It's retirement. It's who's going to take care of me when I'm old. Am I going to have anything? Am I going to have children? Will my children be all right? My children are off running around with the devil. God, I'm afraid. You see, you got to deal with that fear. Because Satan has painted a picture of worry and dread in your mind about that. And it's manifesting fear that's reaching into Satan's kingdom and pulling out what you don't want. Oh, I hope I'm making some sense to you. Man, this is kingdom stuff. We are in a battle. Every day we're in a battle, and I don't care what age you are, new things come at you at every season of life. He never stops. So we can't stop. Refuse to let the spirit of fear take authority. Jairus, when he went to Jesus, Jairus, when he went to Jesus and his daughter was almost dead, you remember that? And then that little woman with the issue of blood stopped everything. And then all these friends came and said to Jairus, "Don't bother the master. Your daughter's dead. She died. You're too late. Oh, you're too late. Jesus would have been there. Maybe he could have saved her, but she's dead now." What does Jesus say? I love this. Luke 8:50. "But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, 'Fear not. Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole.'" Fear not. You see, I love Jesus. He just shut Jairus' mouth. He didn't even let Jairus get a word out. He said, "Shh, shh, fear not. Fear not. Stop the fear. 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 Fear not. Only believe." Is it any different today? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't left us. He's in us. Stop the fear. You know what happened. Number one, recognize fear. It's bondage and failure. Two, repent of it. Three, refuse to let fear replace faith. Last one, four, receive power to believe. Receive the power to believe. How do you do this? This is so familiar. But oh, let's go back to the good old word of God. What God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 stands for Joshua. It stands for Israel. It stands for Jesus. And it stands for Deborah Cobray in the 21st century. It stands because it's the living word of God that abides forever. And God said to Joshua, "Every place where your foot will trod, I am giving it to you. As I have been with Moses, I will be with you." But then he says, verse number 6, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give. Only be strong and very courageous. Twice now God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. I say to the women of the rock, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Every promise that he has promised you, he will surely bring to pass. Only be strong and courageous. And this is what he says. Only be very strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What is departing out of my mouth? What am I meditating on? And what am I observing to do? If I'm going to receive strength to believe, I am going to have to get into my closet. I'm going to have to get into my word. I'm going to have to get air. And I am going to have to get into it like it's a life simulator. When a pilot, a fighter pilot, is learning how to fly, he goes into a flight simulator. In that flight simulator is every scenario inside of that jet plane that he will ever find or ever face. And on his screen, as he learns to navigate in that simulator, they will throw at him every scenario that could possibly ever happen in battle. And he'll go in it, 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 until he passes every test. Because he's learning and training how to fly in a war zone and not fear and panic. Well, I submit to you, we've got a life simulator. The living, breathing Word of God and the prayer closet. And like a fighter pilot has to get into that simulator and everything is thrown at him, when you and I begin to once again pick up the Word, to once again with fresh eyes, hungry and thirsty, ready to repent of fear, ready to understand what it is, ready to receive faith, we're going to get in that life simulator. And girls, we're going to have to get life there, so that everything that's ever going to happen on the outside of that prayer closet, of that time with God, it's no sweat. You've already experienced it. You already know it's coming. You already know it's a spirit of fear. You already know the law of sin and death. You already know how it cloaks itself as common sense and self-preservation, pity. You understand these things because you've trained in the life simulation, the Word of God, prayer. Girls, to war. To war. Life may not get easier in our generation, but I can promise you this. You have been chosen for such a time as this. God knew the hour and the day that you were to be born, and he knew the hour and the day that you would stand on this earth. And his will and his plan for you is to rise and to stand as daughters of the King, as representatives of the kingdom of God, as supernatural girls, looking very natural. People can laugh at us and think we're silly and everything else, and oh, we can have so much fun, and we can be girly and blonde and ditzy all we want. But the bottom line is, on the inside of us, on the inside of us, we've already been in the life simulator. We've already been to war. We know what's coming, and we know how to fight, and we're not going to have a meltdown, and we're not going to be tricked by the enemy. I am done. Belongs to God. You are saints of God, daughters of the King. Now, hallelujah. For those of you that have had a spirit, you've been in fear like I was, I just want you to stand right now because we're going to repent. You've been in fear. It's tricked you. You see it today. Stand. We're going to say this prayer together. We're going to go to the throne. I am actually glistening and sweating. I mean, I am beside myself. I'm too old for this. Okay. Let's pray. I want you to say, Father,
Father,
here I stand.
Here I stand.
I have seen by your word,
that I have been tricked.
I've allowed a spirit of fear
to rule my mind,
to try to make decisions
under its power.
Thank you for the light.
Thank you, for the light.
Thank you, Father,
thank you, Father,
that you promised me,
if I confess my sin,
you are faithful and just,
to forgive me,
and to cleanse me from unrighteousness.
Your word says,
whatever is not of faith is sin.
I confess sin.
I confess fear.
I confess dread.
I confess worry.
In Jesus' name,
forgive me now.
Cleanse me in the blood.
And make me white as snow.
Thank you, Father,
that I can now say,
I'm cleansed.
Spirit of fear,
you have no authority
in my life.
I cast you from me
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And amen.